Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read Genesis 2:23 through Genesis 3, verse 7, wherein Eve learns she shouldn't have worried her pretty little head about things like wisdom or self-improvement.
Hello, and welcome back to The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. And thank you, Connie, for that. Wow, that was a great recap on that. That you again, you nailed it. I don't know how you do it. You're just like you read back or something.
What can I say? My tarot card deck is awesome. Was that enough sarcasm? I want to make sure.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. last we left off, we were in the garden, and Eve just did something, I think. I don't know.
She was trying to get wives.
Yeah, she's trying to get wives or wives. I don't know. Maybe she was trying to get more wives. The serpent was talking with a lisp, so he was like, you want more wives? Why? Yeah, more wives. Yeah, I want more wives. Okay. We're picking up at 3:8 and Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why would they? The question here is, for me, I mean, they heard the voice. If God is everywhere, he could have been coming from anywhere. You ever been in an echoey room? You're like, hey, you know, you kind of, the audio is bouncing everywhere. I mean, if God is booming voices everywhere, you don't know where it's coming from. Why would you think that hiding behind trees is going to be able to keep you from being seen, rather? You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Walking requires feet.
Yeah.
It requires a corporal body.
Yeah.
So when did God stop having a corporal body?
Where did he start, you mean?
Well, start and whatever, because this is confusing to me.
Yeah.
Wait, so I don't know.
It's just one thing. Yeah, and they're hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord. If they know their God knows everything, how would they hide from him? That's impossible. It would be if this were true, it would be impossible. I mean, so he could have dug a hole, jumped in it, covered himself up, and God's like, yeah, what are we doing, playing hide and seek?
Oh, wait, I know where you're at. So the leaves are camouflage.
Oh, that's what it is. It's camouflage. Wait a minute. We have the skin. For most people, it's a pinkish color. I mean, it's a light. Well, I'm the whitest man in America, but.
Well, Adam must have been white, don't you know?
Yeah, white and delightsome.
Sarcasm.
Sorry, that's a Book of Mormon. That's a holy other book. Holy book.
That's Southern Baptist shit, but okay.
Yeah.
3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam, because Eve is just a woman, and said unto him, where art thou?
Why would God even, this is a stupid question. God, you know everything. Why would you even ask this? Why, again, he's all knowing. Where are you, Adam? Adam, he's at a train station apparently, and he's lost him amongst the crowd.
God is senile, or God is just playing him.
This is the apologist will say, well, this was Adam was being tested to tell the truth. It's like so God knows where he is. It's like he's like, yeah, I'm right over here. I'm right here. You know, just and why? Where was God all the other time? Well, Adam and Eve were eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Where was God? Was he off like fucking his own sheep? I don't know. Where was he? He wasn't around.
We already established, I think he was at his, you know, mother's play day thing, because he gave the woman to keep Adam busy.
I'm going to go over here and make a cake. These guys will never know I'm making cake for them. It's a surprise party. They don't know it.
Yep. No. Yeah, I don't know where he was, but maybe God doesn't know where he was. Maybe he was back in the garden getting the weed again.
Yeah,
the grass.
I think God. Yeah, he was off making the. This is where he's off making the platypus. He's like, oh yeah, I just. You know what? I think I'm just gonna throw this out there, and just
I have
name
some
it later.
Extra parts here.
Yeah, I get some extra parts laying around.
Well, I'm sorry. I had another thought, but I.
No, go ahead.
Right out of my, I think it went right out of my head, but he calls into says, "Where are you?" Yeah, it went out of my head. 3:10.
All right, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself."
Oh, that was the point. It's like, okay, so let's imagine that Adam says, "Look, you know what the." We ate from the tree, and now for some reason, you know, we realized that we're naked, God, and we didn't want you to see us like this. What do we think? What are we supposed to think God's reaction is going to be if they actually told the fucking truth, like apologists would like us to think?
Right.
What do you think would happen?
The same thing. The same result would happen.
Exactly. Exactly. When you look at his reaction to this thing, you go, there was no right answer to this.
Right. It's
impossible test.
This is the logic. It's a logical fallacy test. I mean, yes. It's like, when did you stop doing heroin?
When did you stop beating your wife?
Yeah. When did you stop beating your wife? When did you stop doing heroin? And no matter what you answer, it's going to be the answer is the wrong answer. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
So this was a trick question. This is one of those. It's a logical fallacy question, basically.
Yeah, and you know, actually, Adam's response is totally honest.
Yeah.
It's totally honest. And how does God repay this honesty?
Exactly. I was afraid because I was naked. I was like, well, here you come strolling along with a robe on, and I realize I'm sitting here naked, you fucking dirty old man. And you're looking at all my jiggly bits, and Adam's and Eve's jiggly bits, and I'm kind of pissed off that you're looking at her jiggly bits. She is my wife, after all. I mean, God. I mean, not God, but you know, God.
3:11, and he said...
Oh, no, you're right, 3:11. I'm sorry.
God said... Who told thee thou wast naked? This is what pisses him off.
This is
okay. Who did this?
Who told you this? I mean, who else is there? I mean, who else is there? I mean, the serpent's there. Obviously, we know that. But God, why didn't God know this? God,
who made this? Who made the serpent?
God made the serpent.
Who made the serpent? Yeah. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee? Oh, command. Awesome. That thou shouldest not eat.
Again, he's put this fantastic looking tree in the middle of all the other lush fruits and vegetables, I imagine, that are in the garden, and said, yeah, this is the one you're not supposed to eat of. I mean,
as a parent, by the way, I believe in I very strongly that you watch your children and you pay attention to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't,
especially when they're very young.
Well, yes, and I would not ask them, "Hey, what did you do?" I would say, "Look, I saw that you did this." All right, because I am more concerned about my kids lying first of all, I don't want them to become liars and to say that I want them to be good people.
Right.
I say, this is why you shouldn't do this. You need to apologize. You need to make this right, blah, blah, blah. Because that takes observing. Here is an omniscient person, and he's playing this stupid game. I just, pisses me off so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He's asking a question. It's a no-win scenario question.
Exactly. Yeah, it is because, again, for the entire thing about God and Jesus and, you know, original sin, everything, for this to work, We have to have a God who knows everything, who is everywhere, and who's all powerful.
Yeah.
This is the only way that this whole thing plays out. And he's not any of these things.
No, he's clearly not all knowing. In this instance, he's not. And of course, the apologist said, yeah, he's testing Adam. If he already knew that he ate of it, why would he need to test him? Why would he need to ask?
Why is he testing an innocent person?
Right.
A person who is very naive. Why is he?
He didn't know. He had no
idea. Exactly.
The apologist say, well, he told him not to eat of it. He said, yeah, but he doesn't know why. He has no idea why not to do this. So but then they go back on, well, he should just obey. No. I'm sorry, but no, because we're told to not to do things, and sometimes it's for the wrong reasons. This was for a wrong reason. If he said, yeah, if you touch this, you're going to start immediately on fire, that would be for a good reason. But because I don't want you to learn things is not a good reason.
To say that you shouldn't run out in the street because there might be cars coming, so look for cars, that's good information.
Yes.
You know, that's good. That is excellent information in just a few sentences.
Yes.
But Adam got none of that.
No. He just said, you might die. You're going to die. But what's death? He doesn't understand death. It's like telling a 2-year-old, okay, if you crawl off the edge of this couch into this pit of boiling lava we have sitting here next to the couch, you'll die. Okay, what's death? I don't understand it. I don't know what it means.
What's lava?
No context. What's lava? I don't know.
What's burning?
I don't know. I don't understand
any
of this. I don't understand. I'm literally a few days old. I have no concept of what burning, death, or lava is, or anything like that. I have no concept of these things.
We're better parents than God.
We are way better parents than God.
Yeah.
And I had two also, just saying.
I had blah, blah, blah.
Right. 312. And the man said, yeah, because you just read 311. 312. And the man said, the woman who thou gavest, this line is so fucking convoluted here. 312, and the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So basically, he just threw Eve under the proverbial bus at this point. He's like, she did it. It's not her fault. She did it. Don't blame me. I'm innocent here, man. It's all her fault. She should punish her. I know good and evil now, because obviously now I know that this was a bad thing to do. So they're playing the blame game. This is the scapegoating again. It's like, she did it. Her fault.
What was God's angry face at this point?
I know, right?
This is every conversation you have with little kids when you walk in the room and you see that everybody's drawn on everybody with markers and the fingers start pointing. That's the only way this is funny.
Yeah.
This is exactly why it's not funny, because Christianity is based on this story.
Right.
God, I hate this.
In a way, Adam blames God in this line here, because you gave her to me. You're the one that gave her to me. You know, it's your fault. If you hadn't given me this gun, then I wouldn't have shot that person. If you had not given me this woman, she wouldn't have been tempted to eat this fruit and gave it to me. Of course, Adam had a choice. He could have said no. He could have said, yeah, no. God said if we eat this, we're going to die, so I'm not going to. He could have just said no.
Could have, would have, should have.
Could have, would have, should have. But, of course, you mentioned previously that, you know, if you want that nookie later, it's like, okay, I kind of have to now. Cause
who is Adam afraid of
right
now? Before he was... Now obviously,
and this is the only person Adam knows. He doesn't know that as far as he knows, that this woman was put there for him. He should implicitly trust her with every decision she makes, as she is supposed to have implicit trust in every decision he makes. So if they've made this decision to eat this, it must be okay, because Why not? Because they're put here to trust each other, right? So
you know, Adam does actually in that sense. Adam does exactly the proper thing. He says, "Wait, you gave her to me. I was supposed to trust her. This was my helper. What happened?"
Right. Failure, you know, failure. I mean, God won. I'm going to put this down. God's failure.
He does, in some sense. I mean, maybe he's not throwing Eve under the bus, but maybe he's throwing it back at God.
That's a good point. Maybe it is.
I hadn't thought about that before in this narrative, because especially when you look at the next verse, 3:13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, "What hast thou done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Beguiled, you know, obviously tricked.
Yeah,
me,
beguiled, you know, in this
it's
context.
It's just like, I don't know. Yeah. So God doesn't.
How does she
go back at Adam? He does turn to Eve and says, "Okay, what happened?"
Yeah, the woman blames the snake. Adam blames Eve. But in reality, I think in a way, it's like, Adam's actually blaming God for giving her. You gave me a defective product, God. This woman here is defective.
Right.
You shouldn't have given me this one. You should give me the next model. You should have improved on this model.
Right. And the blame game happens.
Yeah.
We all, maybe in some sense, this is why believers and Christians who look at this, they identify with this struggle, because we all understand this struggle, you know, in that sense, the narrative sucks us in,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I wish it didn't, because it shouldn't make sense. We should be questioning a bunch of other things. And instead we have this drama. All right. We have this microcosm, like, you know, like Greek tragedy happening here. And people don't think beyond that, because,
right.
They go, oh, I understand this. This is what pastors make sermons about, not about the crap, a science of Genesis 1 and 2 on how our universe was created. This is what they focus on.
Right. And, you know, honestly, this is the whole, if you get two people in an elevator, one person farts, everybody knows who did it. You know. You don't have, and a third person walks in, then you don't know, obviously. But, you know, but this is God, he's all knowing. He would have known who farted. I'm just saying.
He should have known.
He should have known, right. Exactly.
Exactly.
3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall thou eat for the days of thy life." The thing here, if you're cursed above all cattle, how is that being a bad thing? I'm just saying. I was like, why would a curse above? I mean, wouldn't that be a curse below? Wouldn't you want to curse them below the cattle, not above the cattle? Because then you're giving them a better curse, I guess. I don't know. And we actually have, the serpent is generally referred to as a snake, but we have serpents with legs still today. I mean, we have like the Komodo dragon. It has legs. Alligators have legs. Oh, that's not a serpent, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, thou art cursed above all cattle, above the cattle, but yet God made a point. How many times have we referenced cattle in the creation? It's like he has
a thing for cattle. I'm just saying.
He does.
That's where he was. That's where God was when he wasn't with Adam. He was out fucking the cow.
So why are they cursed?
Yeah, why? Would,
I'm sorry. That's something I had.
Why are the cattle cursed? Cursed above all cattle. Cursed above them. Why would he? He loves cattle apparently, because, like you said, he's mentioned it several times. Why would you curse the cattle?
And it's amazing to me that he took Eve's word. Okay, you know, he's turned to Adam. He's turned to Eve, and the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I took it." And so this is judge, jury, conviction.
Right.
Because the serpent did this, you're done.
Yeah,
I don't understand it.
Well, there was no, there's only two other people. There's two people there, so obviously, you know, it's like, okay, guys, like, this is my creation. This is the apologist speaking. This is my creation. Obviously, my creation's good, and it would never lie to me. But now it's the tree of good knowledge, good and evil. It could lie to you. Now she could have lied. She could have been lying. She could have said that. Yeah. It was a snake over there. She could have. It could have been anything.
Well, or she could have misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah, that's possible too.
But you know, he's just assuming. Yeah, okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Again, I don't.
I think God had it out for the snake to begin with, and he was just looking for a good excuse to go, you know what, I don't really like that snake. I just hope someday somebody's going to come along and just fucking frame it for something. And I'm just going to go, you know what, fuck you. And I'm just going, you're done.
As I understand it, the Jews, you know, they try to say that this is actually referring to Lilith, the first wife. It's some kind of magic hoodoo thing that she, you know, she appeared to.
She came back as a snake.
As a serpent, yeah, which was some kind of magical dragon kind of creature.
Because Lilith was uncontrollable, according from what we've understood. That because God, Lilith was just like, I'm an independent woman. You know, I will do as I want to. Not because this guy over here says, hey, I've got the dick. I should do what I say. They're like, fuck you. I've got the tits. I'll do as I say. You do as I say. You know, that's
right.
But now it's like, so the snake is supposedly Lilith going, hey, you should be independent here too. Just saying, don't listen to him. What the hell? It's because he's got a penis. You think he's God or something? God damn.
I knew Adam before Adam was cool. 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent. All right. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this is supposedly.
I don't understand this one here.
It's supposedly it's predicting Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. All right. It's in the Christian identity theology, the notation here, it's considered to be the most important verse in the Bible. The whole Jesus thing is not the most important part of the Bible.
Yes, the whole, this is what Christianity is based on. This is why I deconverted, by the way. It was like when this fell apart, when this whole stuff fell apart, I was like, there's no reason.
Right.
Yeah. If you question the creation story, you're questioning the whole reason for original sin and mm-hmm. for Jesus. And Jesus was supposed to be the one to crush the serpent.
Now, here's some more part of this. The serpent's seed includes the Jews and all non-white people. Adam's seed refers to white people only. Wow, that's pretty KKK there, I guess.
Actually, I think this is like refuting Mormonism, as I saw in the notations, but I'm not sure.
And it also goes on here. We're kind of jumping ahead on this. It says Cain is the son of the serpent and Eve. I was not aware of this. And he murdered his half-brother Abel, intermarried with pre-academic people of color in the land of Nod, which we'll get into later. All non-white humans are descended from Cain. After Abel dies, Seth was born to Adam and Eve and became ancestor to all white people. The serpent seed, Jews and non-white people are evil. Adam's seed, white folks are good. Because you're white, you're good automatically. And God forever put into enmity between them in Genesis 3:15. So yeah, just that's the whole seed thing there, just so you understand the context of what's going on.
Yeah. Yes.
And the thing about bruising thy head and thy heel, I mean,
well, okay.
Don't they have Red Cross at this point? I'm just saying.
In other words, the snake will be the snake's head is under Jesus' heel.
Okay.
And although the snake bites his heel,
it's supposed to be foreshadowing.
Right.
Ah, exactly. I gotcha.
And and this is exactly, well, that's exactly it.
This is a interesting part here, though.
Well, it is.
Because people can't look back and go, you know what, this thing, we'll do this thing here in the book later and say, you know, it was told back then. People don't understand that. They think, yeah, see, it predict this part of the Bible predicted this. No. This was written later, and then it was written to correspond with the stuff that happened previously. It's called foreshadowing. Anybody can do this. I could, you know, I could say I went to the store and I said I was going to buy bacon. I came home and I wrote a story about how I predicted I was going to buy bacon, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how the Bible was translated and how it was put together is a huge, huge story. It's a huge question. It should put the whole thing in question, because people say, well, we prayed about it. We put it together and we pray, and men were praying about it. But they assembled the Bible in a way that it empowered religion. It empowered, sorry, but men particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And it created this, you know. Anyway.
Hey, all right. We'll do one more here because we're coming up on our 30-minute mark. 3:16, unto the woman he said, bad woman, bad bird. You a bad girl, you dirty girl. No. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So this is her punishment for, you know, for being an independent person and doing what she was originally, I don't want to use the word designed, but hey, this is, if we're going to go in the Bible context, she was designed from Adam, right? And
yep.
And so she was doing what, as I said before, she was doing her job. She was out looking for food. But because she was doing her job, she's being punished for doing the thing she was supposed to be doing to begin with. And yep. And this is the excuse that they use to give men more power in the Bible than women, because men rule, women drool. You know, it's that mentality.
We're the temptresses with our breasts and our legs and our thighs and everything.
Yep.
That we're all meant to understand.
One real other point here. This is what they said: where the sorrow shall bring forth children. It's like this is supposed to be okay. You're going to have pain in childbirth because they didn't have children beforehand, so there's no way to know if they would have had pain beforehand. The apologists will probably say no, they wouldn't have, but you don't know that. They don't know that for sure. There's no way they can know that for sure. They're making it up at that point.
No, but a lot of very fundamentalist religions like to tell women that, yeah, if we had done this, it wouldn't be that painful. I think it's interesting that it's also the conception.
Yeah. Oh, the conception's going to be hard.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's like, okay, if the conception's going to be painful, why would I want to do it? Get off me, man. Get off me. I can't speak for you, Connie, but. That's the best part of it.
Well, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Sorrow and conception, except to know that your children will die. I don't know. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now, having been in some fundamentalist circles, that actually means that you want to rule over your husband.
Yeah.
But he will rule over you.
Yeah, you're supposed to rule. The woman's supposed to take commands from the man in the relationship. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, that's the combat. That's the you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus shit.
Yep.
That's that explains, that's supposed to explain that. And when that is so awful, because why do we sexualize the struggle of human beings for dominance?
Right.
You know, but you're automatically putting us, because one's a woman, one's a man, you know, we put that fight between gender instead of just the idea that, hey, guess what? If tomorrow it was happy, happy land, we didn't see gender anymore, we didn't see race anymore, the fact is we'd still be human beings.
Yeah.
And we'd still be struggling for everything. Why couldn't God have, if he's that fucking smart, why couldn't he have just said, hey, look, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or whatever you identify as. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter where you were born. The fact is that as human beings, you're going to struggle to be dominant.
Yeah.
It that's how it is, you know.
It's a very convoluted situation, and kind of a fucked up line if you ask me. But that's all the time we have for today. If you would like to reach us on Twitter, we are at twitter.com/ABANW podcast. And if you like the show and would like to donate some hard-earned dollars that you have so worked so hard for and would like to donate to us for our hard work, trying to entertain you with this boring-ass book, you can go over to Patreon at patreon.com/ABANDNW, and if you like the show, go over to our Facebook page and hit the like button on facebook.com/ABANDNW, and the blog page is over at I get alphabet soup again. The blog page is over at abandnw.wordpress.com, and if you have any questions or comments or love or hate mail, just send it to us at tatbanw@gmail.com. That address again is tatbanw. That's the best way to remember it, is tatbanw, tatbanw@gmail.com. And be sure to check out our main show over at Packard Pokes At, where you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And from that, I will be saying good night. Or good evening, good morning, whenever you decide to listen to this. And we'll catch you next time on The Atheist,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.